In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Brothers and sisters, when I was reading this very familiar parable, or not parable, story, one of my favorites, I got stuck as I was reading a particular line. I was trying to think of what I was going to tell you today, and I kept reading this line over and over. It was a question of the demons to Christ. It said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High?" The demons in the man were questioning Jesus, "What have we got to do with you?" Another way to say it colloquially is, "What is it to me and to thee?" In other words, do you have anything to do with me? Do we have any similarity? Is there any reason why I should take notice of you? What significance are you to me? They were saying it and saying that since they had no part with him, he should leave them alone. But this question is there for a reason. And I've told you before, and I hope you've listened and you follow my instructions, that every question in the scripture you should answer. There are no questions that are not meant to be answered. Everything should be answered. You should know the answer to every question. So what does this question mean to you? And what is your answer? What do I have to do with thee, O Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? This is an important question. It's a question that I answer every day, and I want you to answer it too. Life is not just the things we say and the things that we express that we believe. It's how we act, how we act upon what we believe. And so what is Jesus to you? He should be life. There's no life outside of God. Everything outside of God is death. That is what is Jesus to me. There is no peace outside of God. Everything outside of God is war. The war of the passions against the flesh. The war of man against man. The war of our feelings against our soul. So Jesus is the only one who brings peace. The only one who brings life. Outside of God there is death and disease. Illness. With God there is healing. There is life. So Jesus is life and healing and peace to me. But we live in a world that is not full of life or healing or peace. It also is very full of death and disease and war. And so as we live in this world, with these things happening, we must always remember what Jesus is to us. He's peace, life, health. And we must answer that question. Now, the demons knew who he was. And I tell you honestly, the demons know better who he was than some of us. Because when you have a religion that is just sort of perfunctionary, then you don't know who Jesus is. God is not someone we placate with a candle or two or a prayer or two. God is our Father, and we should always be with our Father. And so Jesus and God should be to us everything. Now, the demons begged him that he would not cast them out, but he did anyway. And they went into a herd of swine, and the swine went down the hill. They were on a hill that was against the Sea of Galilee. So there was like a cliff. And they ran over that cliff and plunged into the sea, and all were drowned. So the demons, when they were in the sheep, or excuse me, when they were in the pigs, made the pigs go mad. This is an image for us. It's a very important image. God didn't protect the pigs from madness. So when the demons went into the pigs, he knew what would happen because he had stayed his hand. He was not protecting the pigs. If God does not protect us against the demons, we would go mad in an instant. People would be killing each other with spoons or whatever they could find, rocks on the street. The demons are terrible. They're death. We just had a service in which we did exorcisms. Those exorcisms say some very mighty and powerful things to the demons. We live in a kind of a bubble culture. none of us are really that poor. None of us really go hungry. None of us are wet when it rains or naked when it's cold. None of us worry about our place of business being blown up. And people in the world that have all of those cares. And we can kind of live in a frivolous way and pretty much get away with it. We can go from thing to thing, entertainment to entertainment. We can work, we can play, we can raise our family, and Jesus is almost nothing to us. Because if you go through your life and you're not reading the scriptures, you're not struggling against your sins, then the answer is, what is this, what is you have to do with me, Jesus, is pretty much nothing. Even though you say that you believe, and even though you come to church. There must be a great desire in your heart to be with Jesus. You must cultivate that desire. I just recently saw a man baptized. I baptized him, so obviously I saw him baptized. He was in prison. I don't know if I told you about him. I will not give his name because I try to protect their privacy. But we'll call him Jimmy. And so Jimmy came for I think he came for 2 years. And he would say, always, Father, I love your services. I love your teaching. I love the prayers, but I'll always be a Baptist. Always be a Baptist. But he was the one who nodded his head the most when I said something from Scripture, and he showed he understood. And the things he said had a quiet wisdom about them, and people listened to him. And so, a couple months ago now, he wrote me a letter and begged me, saying, please baptize me. I never had any indication from him at all that he wanted to be baptized. And then I saw him, I think, that very same week that the letter arrived, and he again begged me twice, please baptize me. So I thought, this is a clear-cut case of the Ethiopian eunuch. And I wrote him a couple letters. I had travel in between and wasn't able to come one of the days that I normally come. I normally come every 2 weeks to this prison. And then I baptized him. And I tell you, this is a man who would answer this question. What do I have to do with thee, Jesus? Merely with tears. Jesus has everything to do with him. He was quite moved. I've never seen anybody more moved by a baptism. And I was quite edified by it all. It's one of the perks of prison ministry. Sometimes you see more honesty in prison than you see outside of prison sometimes. That's the way you must be as far as answering this question. What is Jesus to you? Well, I'll tell you, if you watch more TV than you read the scriptures, if you go to church occasionally, but not very often, if church is not the whole highlight of your week, then Jesus is not a whole lot to you. I want you to try something. This is very, very important. Because we're gathered here this morning to meet God. To meet God in an intimate way that doesn't happen usually outside of what we're doing right now, which is the Divine Liturgy. We're here not just to receive communion or not to hear preaching or because of a baptism or because it's our trapeza team. We're here to meet God because God is everything. There is no life outside of God. And you should come here wanting the dead things in you to come alive. So you come to meet God. Not to fulfill an obligation, not to go to church on Sunday, because after all, that's what we do. We go to church on Sunday. Well, I'll tell you what, I go to church on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Saturday and Thursday at a minimum. So don't be telling me we just go to church on Sunday. There's sort of this idea among people that are not really thinking very hard about their faith. I go to church. I'm okay. Haven't killed anybody. I haven't committed adultery. I don't cheat on my taxes. I'm doing okay. I have to tell you, I never think I'm doing okay, ever. Because when I compare myself to Jesus Christ, I don't look okay. Jesus should be everything to you. So I would tell you, that's what you must have in your heart in order to be saved. Jesus should be everything. So you should pray, fast, read the scriptures because they're life. Have any of you had the experience that you sit down to read the scriptures and it just seems so beautiful that you can't even fathom it? The words just jump out. And I think some of you have that. But I think some of you don't. And I weep for that. Because all of you should have that experience. All of you should have the experience of coming to the services and having this deep expectation that God would fill you in some way that you need, and having this certainty that it's going to happen. You're not going to know how it happens, but it's going to happen. You should be like the woman who had the son die, the one whom Elisha had said, you will have a son, and then he gets to be about 10 years old, and he has, the scripture describes it, sorry, my training, medical training, makes me realize that he probably had a brain hemorrhage and stroked out, and he died. And so the woman, what did she do? It was in the middle of the month. It wasn't a normal time to go see him. She saddled her ass, and she went out to see him. And on the way, Gehazi came and said, is it okay with you? Everything good? And she said, peace. She didn't want to talk to him. All she wanted to do was get to Elisha because her son was dead. What was her son's death to her? Everything. Everything. Nothing else mattered. So she goes to Elisha. Tells Gehazi to go and bring his staff. But the staff doesn't work when it's put upon the boy. It doesn't raise him. So Elisha goes. And her son is raised. That's how much her son meant to her. She didn't want to talk to anybody else. Just the guy who could get it done. That's what Jesus should be to you. You should be like that woman. Not let anything else get in the way. It's your ego, or your troubles, or your poverty, or your dissatisfaction with your relationship with someone. Nothing get in the way. You have to be like her, saying peace to everybody else. Leave me alone. All I want is Jesus. That's what Jesus means to you. That's what he must mean to you. You have to cultivate that feeling. So I hope you can answer this question with great honesty, that Jesus means everything to you. Otherwise, your exercise of religion is really just going through the motions. It's not healing you. It's not making you have God appear to you, fill you. I think I meant to say just a moment ago, this thing that I want you to try, I want you to do this. When you come, especially for liturgy, I want you to come with the prayer in your heart that God would reveal himself to you, that you would meet him here, that he would fill you, that he would change you, that something in you that's broken would get fixed, that something in you that's dark would become light, that's cold would become warm. You come with that expectation. I'll give you some advice if you're going to follow my instructions. Come before the liturgy begins. And come in and venerate the icons quietly, make the sign of the cross, and be like this woman who has a dead son, that you care about nothing else except your son coming back to life. And that son is your soul, is your heart. And you want the dead things in your heart to become alive. It should be all that matters when you come here. I tell my guys in prison this too. And I can feel that some of them are really understanding it and hearing it. The man I baptize knows this. Even in the midst of serving a liturgy in prison, and they're sometimes eclectic locations, with big fans blowing and in the next room people playing bass guitar and just all kinds of distractions. And yet it's heaven because we're meeting Christ. He's filling us, changing us. Will you try that when you come to liturgy forever? Not just next time, but forever. You'll come on time and you'll come with expectation. I kind of helped a lot of you to come on time today, huh? Since we started a half hour late. That wasn't my intention, but you have to come with expectation, with a heart that feels lost without Christ, dead without Christ. And then you answer this question correctly. And I'll just tell you one more thing about this story. The people who kept the pigs, they answered this question. What do they have to do with Jesus? They answered the question by being afraid when they saw their pigs were dead and begging the Lord to leave him, leave them immediately. That's their answer to the question. It's a terrible answer. But let us be Christians. Despite our sins, we are Christians. God abides in us. So let's answer this question correctly, not just with our words, but with the way we live, with the way we pray, with what our priorities are. Let's answer this question. What does Jesus have to do with us? Everything. God bless you.